All right, hour number two, My Guys in the Desert from the South Point Sportsbook, Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo. And Vinny, we talked a little bit in the first hour about the quarterback carousel in the NFL. It's going to be a lot to follow this offseason. We have conference tournaments in action and college hoops. Thanks to Clark Kellogg and Lou Finicaro, our guest in hour number one. If you missed the replay of, or if you missed the first hour of today's show, the replay is up at vsin.com. Let's kick it down to Danielle Alvari at the Circus Sportsbook downtown. Danielle, a lot going on with NFL quarterbacks this offseason.
Yeah, and I know we got to talk about this in the last hour, but I didn't get to discuss it with you guys. Russell Wilson, definitely not happy right now in Seattle. Diana Rossini of ESPN tweeted yesterday that Seahawks are not actively shopping Russell Wilson, but calls from other teams were being accepted. Last week, Wilson's agent said that he wants to play for Seattle, but there are four teams he would waive his no-trade clause for: the Raiders, the Bears, the Saints, or the Cowboys. What do you think of this situation? Is he going anywhere? If so, where do you think he's going?
Good question. Vinny, do you want to tackle that one first?
I'm not so sure. But the Cowboys, now these are his preferences.
He gave his four teams to go play for. But
I think Dak Prescott is, I think the Cowboys are off the table. Well, first of all, look, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, the reality is there's it's been crumbling up there since that botched Super Bowl, that play to go back-to-back and the interception on the goal line. So is there a possibility? And now it looks like more of a likelihood. If he wants out and he doesn't want to be there, then the Seahawks are probably going to be pretty active in looking for suitors. I think the Bears is an interesting location.
Yeah, I think we should throw that quote up from Michael Silver, NFL Network insider. For those who didn't hear what Silver said about Wilson, it's obvious, Danielle, that Russ is restless in Seattle right now. Michael Silver of NFL Network said, "I think the situation is worse than I previously believed. Listen, if the Seahawks are not at least having conversations about the possibility of a Russell Wilson trade right now, they are committing malpractice because clearly he is that unhappy." Wow. And, you know, Russell Wilson's being a little passive-aggressive right now. I'm not demanding a trade, but it's obvious by throwing this stuff out there that he wants a trade. And if I'm the Seahawks, you hate to trade a franchise quarterback like this. You just hate to do it. But this is the draft where this is a draft of opportunity for quarterbacks, Vinny. Mm-hmm. And if you could somehow ship Russell Wilson to the Jets for the number two pick and trade Wilson's, how about this, Danielle? You trade Wilson's. You trade Russell to the Jets, and you draft Zach Wilson from BYU at number two. And also you're going to get more in return from the Jets than just the number two pick. So, I mean, that's something I would explore. And if you're in the Seahawks front office, you have to look into those possibilities.
And you mentioned Russ is kind of being, you know, passive aggressive here or whatever. Are we seeing quarterbacks like he's unhappy, Deshaun Watson's unhappy? Are they seeing them, you know, Tom Brady kind of calling his shots? And now has that spurred this a little bit more and made them want to be able to have a lot more control and say?
Kind of borrowing a page from some NBA teams recently, mm-hmm. right? Yep. And putting, I don't want to quite say dream teams together, but I think when some of these quarterbacks, some players, look at what the success that the Buccaneers had. And again, certainly Brady was the major component for that. But there were some other pieces that went to as well, Ndamukong Suh on the defense, et cetera. I think that's where you start to see, is there a snowball, is there a ripple effect to some of these? And, of course, that combined with the draft, other free agent signings and or trades all coming together, that in our world will impact the future book in terms of the odds to win the Super Bowl next year.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So some quarterbacks staying put, some are moving. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, reduced his pay so that he could stay with the Steelers. Will they or won't they draft a quarterback? What are your thoughts? I know we're talking about how many quarterbacks are going to go in that first round earlier.
I don't know if the Steelers are going to get one of the top five, Vinny. I'm not sure. There's a lot of competition for these five quarterbacks, and that's why I think Kiper, McShay, the NFL mock drafters are saying that five quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10. There's so many teams looking for a quarterback. I'm not sure the Steelers are going to get one of those guys. I think they're going to get somebody outside that group of five, but the Steelers obviously have to be looking for a franchise quarterback or a quarterback of the future. Let's look, put it that way, in this draft, because there are so many quarterback possibilities here.
Yep, Steelers pick number 24.
Stick with us. We're coming up right here on My Guys in the Desert. back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. This is My Guys in the Desert. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com. And remember, you can download the free OddsTrader app right now and start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Kicking off hour two here, huge thanks to Clark Kellogg, Lou Finicaro for joining us in the last hour. We have Jeff Parles on shortly. Jimmy Vaccaro will be in studio. And Dave Koken. Matt Eumanns.
All right, how about that? Jeff Parles, Jimmy V, and Smokin' Koken all in the same hour after Clark Kellogg and Gam Lou in the first hour. That's a loaded right. show on a
Strong.
Friday, Benny. This is how you go into the weekend.
That's right, buddy. That's it. You got to add the guest list.
Big Ben, it's last call for Big Ben. This looks like it's going to be his last year with the Steelers, and I think he was desperate just to play one more year, give it one more run. I feel like the Steelers have a defense that's championship caliber. They got to work on the offense this season or this offseason, and they also have to take a look at a quarterback of the future in this draft. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned Steelers have which pick in the first round?
24th, right after the Jets' second-round pick, Matt. So, yeah. You know, it's – listen – Roethlisberger gives them their best option. They should hopefully they'll get healthier with Dupree and Bush coming back on defense. Now, are they going to be back in week one? I'm not so sure. But their defense is combat. But they also need to store up their run. They need a running back as well. So maybe I can't see. Do they draft a quarterback at number 24? Yeah, possibly. But they also have to have a better running game if they're going to compete, particularly in a division
right.
That's really pretty that's exciting and it's very competitive.
And that's what the offseason's for. You work on your offensive line, your running game. If you're the Steelers, those are your major areas of
your
focus.
Needs.
And you hope Big Ben's got one good season left in him in that right arm. And I think the Steelers are going to look for a quarterback, but if Mel Kiper and Todd McShay each project five quarterbacks going in the top 10 picks of this draft, and those are the current projections from the ESPN mock drafters, five quarterbacks in the top 10, where are the Steelers going to look to find their quarterbacks? There's a lot of competition for the QBs, and that's one thing we're going to talk a lot about between now and the draft, Vinny, which is about a month and a half away.
Yeah, and Matt, we talked about it in the first hour, right? If there are going to be five quarterbacks in between 1 and 10, or within 1 and 10, two of those teams are going to have to trade up, right? The Falcons and the Patriots, right? So
right.
That to me, I don't know if that's going to necessarily happen, and I would make the no about a 3-1 favorite right now. Again, there's trades too that could very well impact. We're talking about Russell Wilson wanting out of Seattle. Mm-hmm. Do the Falcons and or the or anybody else? You know, somebody the Jets. You brought up the Jets. Does he get traded to a team which obviously alters the draft considerably?
Yeah, the Jets are not one of the four teams Russell Wilson said he would play for, but hey, things could change.
Sure.
Let's look at Mel Kiper's mock draft 2.0. He is projecting some trades too, and in the top five, he's got Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, quarterback going to the Jags. Zach Wilson, quarterback from BYU, going to the Falcons. That's a trade with the Falcons moving up. Devonta Smith, wide receiver from Alabama, going to the Dolphins at number 3. Kyle Pitts to the Jets at number 4 if they move down. Kyle Pitts, tight end / wide receiver from Florida. Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon to the Bengals at 5. And then when you look at the second 5, he's got three more quarterbacks going. Jamar Chase, wide receiver from LSU to the Eagles at 6. And you have Justin Fields to the Niners, Mac Jones from Alabama to the Panthers, and Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State to the Patriots at number 9. Patriots seem unlikely to trade up in the top 10 to me. But Cowboys, Patrick Surtain, cornerback from Alabama at number 10. So you got 5 quarterbacks and one corner. There, but geez, it seems to me it's a little bit of a stretch for 5
right?
of those to go in the top 10. But I guess it could happen.
Matt, when you look at Justin Fields, there, are they implying that Garoppolo is gone?
I think the Niners are looking to move Jimmy G.
Okay,
I wouldn't rule out the Patriots as a landing spot.
No, I wouldn't either. That's so.
It's going to be a lot of speculation.
But that's why they're saying – and that's where that's the leading speculative spot for him right now. But then they also say that the Patriots are going to grab Trey Lance at number nine.
That's why Kuiper changes his mock draft like seven times. By the time we get to the first day of the draft on Thursday, April 29th, it'll be mock draft 10.0 or something like that.
So is that how it works?
This is version number two, Vinny. Oh, okay. Let's get to Jeff Parles.
All right, Parlay Parles.
Of VSiN, college basketball analyst with us now. Jeff is on Skype. Look at that, man. Looking sharp today. He's obviously been on the golf course a lot lately because he looks tan too, Vinny.
Wow, look at this. What a gig.
Look at this. Look at this. I had to match you guys with the blazer. When Sean called me up, I had no blazer and it didn't look good. I had to match you guys, of course.
So, you're in your house wearing a blazer?
I'm going all out, Vinny. Going all out.
That's strong.
He's a true pro. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Parles, P-A-R-L-E-S. All right, Jeff, before we jump into the Saturday card and get some of your thoughts on the big games on Saturday, what did you play or what are you thinking about playing on the Friday night college hoops card? And actually, we've got a lot of conference tournaments in action as we speak as well. Atlantic 10, Missouri Valley, a lot going on today. What did you look to play on the Friday college hoops card?
Matt, just FYI, I just wrapped up a mom is coming through to wrap up a short money line parlay that came through with them and St. Peter's. So a little Jersey money line parlay works out for me in the early slate.
All right.
Late, the one I'm looking at right now, Matt, I'm going to go to the belt. We're going to take Troy getting 7 against Texas Arlington. I know Troy has had all sorts of issues throughout the year. They've lost a lot of games, but they have been able to play a little bit tighter. They played their rival South Alabama tight about 2 weeks ago. They covered 1 of the 2 last weekend as well. We'll take them getting 7 against Texas Arlington. This is not a great card tonight, in all honesty, Matt. I don't see a lot of good things to be played. The other interesting one is I was surprised to see Colorado State as a dog tonight in Reno against the Pack. So I'm probably going to look to play the Rams in that one. They need every win they can get if they're going to make sure to get an at-large bid and don't even have to worry about what happens here in Vegas next week.
They're going to have to worry about what happens in Vegas next week regardless. You can't come to Vegas in the Mountain West Tournament and lose a game and go home early.
Correct.
No.
I think you're going to be in the field of 68 mm-hmm. because you've got three bubble teams, I think, in the Mountain West, Jeff, when San Diego State's going to be in. You got Boise State, Colorado State, and Utah State all fighting for what might be one spot. Who knows how things turn out? If you look at the projections, we have the Mountain West bubble teams right there. Colorado State is projected as an 11 seed. Boise State last 4 in. Utah State first 4 out. That's from ESPN's Joe Lunardi.
Wow.
And Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas next week. So the Rams, the Broncos, and the Aggies all have a lot to play for next week in that. And the Aztecs are the favorites, plus 125 to win that mm-hmm. tournament at DraftKings. All right, let's look at the Saturday games, Jeff. And I'm going to start with Duke and Carolina, believe it or not, because this doesn't have the high stakes it normally does, obviously. But the Blue Devils still have a shot. I saw that Joe Lunardi has got Duke, I think, as one of the first 4 teams out, obviously on the wrong side of the bubble. But Circus Sports opened this Carolina -2 tomorrow in Chapel Hill. What do you think of Blue Devils Tar Heels part 2 here? Because North Carolina won the first meeting on the road.
That number feels correct to me, Matt. Obviously, no home court advantage, no fans, or very minimal amount of fans, if any, there in Chapel Hill. I don't think Duke's any good. I don't think that's a hot take to be saying that at this point. Their season-long play has indicated that. Matt Hurt is the only reason that they even have a pulse at this point. I would lay the 2 with Carolina, but the problem that I have with UNC is they're just so inconsistent. They're really just infuriating to bet on. It feels like whenever I have a play on Carolina, they're finding a way not to cover. I would lean towards the Heels. The opening total 148.5 feels low, though. This feels like a game that's going to have a lot of possessions. And the last time these teams played, this game was in the 170s. So I would kind of look to the over at 148.5 and expect another game in the 80s for these teams and an over in this one, Matt.
Jeff, Illinois, Ohio State, huge game for Ohio State, really, just for seed, but they needed a quality win at this point. This one here, I believe, Matt, 1.5 at Circa. The game is going to be between 1.5 and 2.
The Buckeyes need to win in the worst way, maybe, because they dropped 3 games in a row. Buckeyes opened 1.5-point favorites.
Yeah. So 1.5 to 2. I could see it climbing a little bit. Jeff, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so for me, this is just going with the desperate team, and I like Ohio State. We still don't know if DeSumo is going to go for Illinois, even though the Ewing theory is strong right now on DeSumo with how Illinois has played since he's went out. Obviously, that thrashing of Michigan is one of the more perplexing and jarring results that we've seen all season from anyone. So I would lean Ohio State, though. I think E.J. Liddell will be able to take Cockburn outside. You expect him to be able to score a little bit from the perimeter. The only question is, can Ohio State guard Illinois? That has been the big problem with Ohio State all year. Their defense, the complete opposite of what you would expect out of a Holtman coach team, has really been poor. But I would anticipate this is a desperate team, final home game of the year for Ohio State in Columbus. I'll lay with the Buckeyes. That would be the lean I have in this one.
I'm with you, Jeff. That's going to be on one of my top plays in the next segment. Ohio State right now, 1.5-point favorite over Illinois. Buckeyes have dropped 3 in a row. They're at home. You're catching the Illini sky high off that win in Ann Arbor. I like the spot for the Buckeyes a lot. Yes, I agree their defense has been a weakness, but I can't deny the spot here, so I'm going to play Ohio State there. How about Oklahoma State, West Virginia? And we're not sure if Cade Cunningham's going to play. He went down with a knee injury in that game last night. The Cowboys did cover 12 at Baylor. They go from Waco to Morgantown here. Tough trip, quick turnaround. Cade Cunningham is hurt, and West Virginia opens -7. I don't think I'm going to back the Cowboys for a second straight game. What do you think here, Jeff?
We were, Matt, we were fortunate to get home last night with Oklahoma State with the way that game ended. Thankfully, Baylor didn't try another 360 layup when they were up 11 at the end, like Vital did, and gave me a little mini heart attack there with because I was on Oklahoma State last night. I tend to agree with you here, Matt, just because Cunningham is battling a sprained ankle, and that's just a horrible trip going from Waco to Morgantown back to back. West Virginia had a nice bounce back, even though they didn't cover yesterday against TCU. I would lean towards laying the 7 with West Virginia. And I will say this too, Matt, even though people don't really see Oklahoma State as a threat come the tournament, you have a great player in Cunningham. Their defense is good enough. Their offense is pretty darn efficient. Even if they don't cover tomorrow, I still think that's a team that can be dangerous come the tournament.
I think it can be a dangerous team in a tournament. If Cunningham's not going to play with the knee issue, you wouldn't want to back the Cowboys, I don't think, in Morgantown tomorrow. But I agree with you. Two teams I've been watching who I think are dangerous in March, Oklahoma State and how about Arkansas? That team's really caught fire in the SEC for Eric Musselman as well. One team stocked down, Jeff, Vinny, Villanova without Colin Gillespie.
No Gillespie. They go to Providence. Again, Providence looking for a better seeding position as well here. I make this game without Gillespie probably Nova. What are they using, about 3? 2.5?
Villanova 4, which what do you think of that number, Jeff, without Colin Gillespie?
It's a big number.
That's surprising that it's that high. Villanova completely crumbled when Gillespie got hurt the other night against Creighton. They were able to hold on and still get that win at home. But where's the scoring coming from for Villanova? And I'm not a huge Gillespie guy to begin with. But hey, look, this feels like a team that is without Gillespie. They're going to, I think they'll lose tomorrow, actually. So I like Providence getting the points in that one. But it's just a team that is going to probably lose early in the Big East tournament in that semifinal and see their seeding dip from a 2 seed before Gillespie's injury all the way down to a 3 or 4 and not be a threat going forward in the tournament. But for tomorrow, I would take the Friars. I would take the 4 if you're going to give me more than a possession.
That's what I think, too. I like Providence catching 4. I thought this number, Vinny, would be more like you said. I thought it would be more like 2. And sometimes you have the fallen star theory, too. In the first game, after a star goes down, everybody raises their level of play, and you want to play on that team. I'm not sure that's going to be the case with Villanova at Providence. How about USC and UCLA? The first time around, Trojans pounded the Bruins, but they didn't have – UCLA did not have Riley and Hill, who were two really important guys in the front court. So how about the rematch here with USC, a 1.5-point favorite at Pauley Pavilion tomorrow?
Difficult game, Matt. Total 134 and a half right now. Also difficult. That was not a good last 6 minutes from UCLA the other night at Oregon. Obviously crumbling and not covering at the end. I would lean to the Bruins, though. They're getting a little bit healthier. They still, even though this is not a typical Mick Cronin team, their defense has been lacking at times, but I still don't trust USC even with their talent that they have. So right. I would lean towards the Bruin, but I'm probably going to stay off here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with UCLA in that matchup. Last one, Jeff, LSU, Missouri, which opened, I believe, a pick'em at Circus Sports. We're going to see the line move a little bit to the Missouri side, I believe, here.
Yeah, I would agree. LSU is a team I just don't bet, Matt. They're completely inconsistent. They don't play defense. Very volatile team. I would lean for the Missouri Tigers here.
There you go.
All right, they did open pick'em at Circa, by the way, and Missouri's now a slight favorite, right?
Yeah, they got to be
one and a half, I think.
You might see two in that game. Man.
All right, Jeff Parles of VSIN. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Parles. Jeff, great to see you again. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thanks as always, guys.
See you, Jeff.
Good to talk college hoops with Jeff. Vinny, when we come back, we're going to play March Bankroll Madness. How did last night turn out? And we'll have some best bets for the weekend. VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get $250 match bonus. Fastest payouts and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. BetRivers Sportsbook, visit BetRivers.com. Vinny, how about the golf today? Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, and we have a long shot atop the leaderboard. Corey Connors from Canada, 9-under. He threw a 66 up there yesterday, a 69 today. I don't think he can hold the top spot through the weekend. He's got a lot of big names in hot pursuit. But what were the odds at the South Point and Rampart on Corey Connors going into the Bay Hill tournament?
100-1, Matt. How many tickets do you have on him?
None.
Oof. Well, all right. Martin Laird, he's right behind him. Rory McIlroy. All right. Well, let's see.
Yeah, you Jason Kokrak is the long shot for the long shots crew at 50-1, but he threw up a 73 today. He is minus three for the tournament. Now he's six strokes back. Kokrak in a tie for 18th. But you got Rory McIlroy, two strokes back. Bryson DeChambeau, three back. Jordan Spieth, how about that? Spieth was a 69 today. He's a 5-under for the tournament. Four strokes back, Justin Rose, Sungjae Im, who I've got at 23-1, also right there at a 5-under par, and Matthew Fitzpatrick, Max Homa, guys like that, also in the hunt.
McIlroy, 10. Bryson DeChambeau, 12. And Spieth, 30. He's got to break through one of these, don't you think, man?
He's been very close a couple of times.
Yeah. All right. Well, good, buddy.
Oklahoma State was close to breaking through with a win over Baylor last night in Waco. Cade Cunningham was playing well. He went down with a knee injury late in the game. He finishes with 24 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, but likely number one pick in the NBA draft. Left the game. It was a 5-point game late, Vinny.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have the situation, the in-game situation where you have a missed shot, foul, two free throws, missed shot, foul, two free throws. The game went from 5 to 11.
Very quickly.
And put a scare into those of us who had Oklahoma State plus 12. But it lands on 11, 81-70, and the Cowboys get the cash.
Yep, they do. 11.5 on the opener, Matt. They laid that. They laid 12. We wound up closing it at 12.5. That was the high water mark in that game yesterday. 148, so the game did go over. It's a little surprised. They bet it under from 149.
You know what was a close call last night? Why did you close the total on Iowa State, Texas Tech? Because it looked like that game might slip over the total. It finished 81-54 Tech.
138.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they bet that one up from 36 to 138. Yeah.
Tech got the win. Texas Tech and Oklahoma. Excuse me, Texas and Oklahoma. The Sooners trailed by 10 at the half. Came back, take the lead. And lost it. Texas comes out with a split in the regular season series. Jericho Sims, 16 points, 12 rebounds. Texas wins 69-65.
They laid they laid Oklahoma, Matt, to 2.5. You know, they've suffered some real close losses as we head into the Big 12. Just they're gonna get a lower seed. But how do they respond? Lon Kruger will have his group ready for the Big 12 tournament.
Oklahoma now 14-9, 9-8 in the Big 12. Mm. Oklahoma's a pretty good team, but fading here late in the season.
Yeah.
How about Kansas? What was the money line on UTEP Kansas yesterday? Because the Jayhawks barely avoided the upset. And Lawrence, they were down 14 at the half and had to storm back to win the game 67-62. And that was a one possession game going to the final minute.
So the game itself from 17.5, as high as 18.5, closed 17. 20-1 on the money line.
What was the payoff for
minus
UTEP?
For UTEP?
Yeah.
Plus 1,000.
Plus 1,000 on UTEP?
Yeah.
So. And also Michigan State and Michigan last night, Wolverines in a blowout, 69-50.
Yeah, and they took the points here, thinking maybe Michigan State would you know, they're desperate, Matt, but 19. Again, this is a team that's a mystery. And on the outside looking in right now, so this is a game they took the 12, and we wound up closing at 11 here at South Point.
All right, let's throw the March Madness bankroll graphic up there. Last night I had a split on that Michigan State-Michigan game. I played a half unit on Michigan State plus 12 and a half unit under the total of 140. It did stay under, but I lost the Michigan State side. Plays for tonight. We got one. I got to put the dollar amounts up there. We're just going to throw 110 on all of these, and it's going to be tonight Nevada minus one over Colorado State, 3 for tomorrow. Providence plus 4, Ohio State minus 1.5, UCLA plus 1.5. We'll recap these games in the final segment of today's show. On deck, Jimmy Vaccaro. This is our most exciting betting month of the year. VSiN is getting you ready with our upcoming 2021 College Hoops Tournament Betting Guide. As a VSiN subscriber, you get full access to our 24/7 video daily best bet email, selection Sunday coverage, members-only VSiN.com data, and coming soon, our Tournament Betting Guide. The Tournament Betting Guide this year is epic, with more coverage than ever before from all of your favorite VSiN contributors. You'll get team previews, player profiles, historical trends, matchup analysis, plus our experts' picks and predictions. The guide has everything you need for completing a bracket, finding potential props, and betting against the spread. Hopefully finding ATS winners. Plus, subscribers get access to our real-time updates through the entire tournament. Start your free trial now at vsin.com/subscribe. Jimmy V, welcome back into the studio today. You're a guy who walks around with a lot of money in your pocket.
Yes.
You don't have Skip Bayless type of money, do you?
No, I don't have this type of money, but you know what? I'll take my little bankroll. How you guys been?
What do you say, Jones?
You know what? Feeling pretty good. You know, obviously, I get bored to some degree when there's really nothing going on here. But what I found out in the last 10 days, and I was dead-ass wrong about this, the handle has been good, even through these hard times. Mm-hmm. And we're holding about our average win, which is good when you want to get to something that, you should be able to, do relatively well. Like, you don't want to, be stuck real big going into the NCAA tournament. But this case, and you know what? The biggest thing is, and I was just talking to Chris about it, is naturally we're starting to pick up real, a lot of people signing up on the phones because this year, it's really a good idea if you're local to sign up on the phone.
Sure,
you won't have to come in and whatever and do everything that you want on the phone. And looking forward to that. And you know, because that's the last big hurrah until we get baseball is going to have its regular customers. NBA, nothing with the NBA. You know that until the tournament starts with that. Once they start playing with their playoffs, then it's a different story. But like, happy right now. I was dead wrong about the handle, and naturally, and it's good to see that the Fona concert taking big steps right now.
Did you get a chance to break down the teams that LeBron and Kevin Durant selected and pick your favorite for the NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, I was really hot at him because I was the seventh pick. I should have went a little bit higher.
You talked to your agent?
Defensive player.
I've heard that. Nick Bogdanovich.
Me and Gary Payton, we're about even.
Bogdanovich said you're a menace on the defensive end.
Lockdown. 75 years old.
Lockdown defender.
You know who I kicked his ass one time, so it was a big shot? You ready for this?
Freddie Banks.
Your cousin, Pauly Howard.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
he couldn't keep his trap shut for like a month. I said, you know what? You couldn't beat me. And I think it was me and maybe Mitch and Pauly and Adam Hill.
Wow. That's quite a foursome, a two-on-two game, Vinny.
Well, Adam Hill weighed 413.
But he can shoot. He can shoot the three.
Well, you know, my thing was, go ahead, kid. Go ahead. And I'll psych them. You know, and then it was like clang, clang, clang.
The undercash in that game.
I'm having a good time. How about you guys?
I'm having a really good time. March Madness is one of my favorite times of the year. Conference tournaments in action right now. You've got a big UFC 259 card Saturday night. Yes. So things are still pretty strong at the sports book going into next week.
Yeah, they sure are. And, and people out there, I'll tell you what. If you can't come to town for the NCAA tournament starting the following Friday, I'll tell you what. Pac-12 and the conferences that play here are damn good. There's a lot of people that show up. There's action everywhere. Each year it's growing, you know, more and more people with the tournaments that we're having here. And let me tell you something. Not that, like, I have to, like, pump up the South Point and Michael Gaughan, but I'll tell you what. The gymnasium, the floor is great, where we have the exit hall for everything else and the bedding upstairs, whatever. I'll tell you what, guys, it ain't bad at all coming a week prior to the start of the tournament.
The conference tournaments have become big. March Madness, it doesn't start in the middle of March when we get to, in this case, Indianapolis. As Jimmy brings out a good point, in the last several years, the conference tournaments, not just the ones that are played here, but all the conference tournaments around the country, you know, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, they get a lot of action, too. So we've seen that handle grow. And the encouraging sign, to Jimmy's point about the mobile apps, we saw a huge increase, a huge participation at Super Bowl time. And we know Super Bowl, Jimmy, is the biggest single event. But now for sustained action, handle, tickets written and everything, you got two and a half weeks of the NCAA tournament.
You know, going back, and Vincenzo will surely remember more than you because of your age here, the Big East tournament was monster. Yeah. I mean, absolute monster. When you had the Villanovas and the St. John's
and Georgetown.
Oh, boy, my goodness. I mean, you talk about play. It just seemed to come people. It would almost be like first-time bettors. They heard all about the Big East, and they came, and naturally, it was just an absolute monster.
1985, three of the four Final Four teams in Lexington were. In fact, Boston College, I think, got beaten the regional semi that year by Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. By the way, we also have NASCAR, the third biggest NASCAR event in terms of betting handle is here in town. So we have two races. Let's remember, we have the South Point 400 in the fall, but we've got the Pennzoil 400 this week here out at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway with about 26,000 fans in attendance.
That's not bad.
So they get some good action with the matchup, the group pairings and things like that. So a lot of good variety of the handle.
When the South Point 400 was here a couple of years ago, me and Brent drove around the track.
That's right.
Bush Brothers, I believe.
I remember that,
And I told them very succinctly, don't freaking ever ask me to do that again.
Too fast for you?
Fast? You're this far away from the wall going 150 miles an hour, and the Bush kid was trying to tell me, hey, Jimmy, look over here, so we tend to back. What? Shut up. Just drive.
Hey, those guys are pros. They know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
You're a notoriously slow driver. Is that true?
Yes. Oh, if the speed limit's 40, Jimmy's at 28. Trust me. But one thing, see, I good with the side streets. If me and Kurt Busch started, you people don't know out there, like way over on Decatur and Tropicana, and then they had to drive out, the winner was right here at the South Point, Jimmy's a winner.
All right.
You done with me?
Yeah. You got a big weekend planned?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, March Madness kicks in really officially next week because the conference tournament, big conference tournaments are going to be going. That's a great time to be out here.
See you guys later.
Jimmy, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it. We'll see you Monday, right?
Okay. Come
in Monday. We'll recap everything that happened. Plus, the national throw up the graphic one more time. March Bankroll Madness. Didn't get a chance to detail everything. So Thursday results, Oklahoma State plus 12 over Baylor. That was a $220 play. That was
good
a winner.
Win.
Split on the Michigan State Michigan game, lost $5 there. So the balance stands. The record is 3-3. The bankroll stands at plus $105 going into the weekend. We got four. I'm just going to make these four $110 plays each. Nevada minus one over Colorado State tonight. Then we have Providence plus four, Ohio State minus 1.5, and UCLA plus 1.5 on Saturday. So. Next up, Smokin' Dave Cokin. We're going to talk best bets in college hoops and the NHL. The OddsTrader.com studio at South Point Casino. OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Visit OddsTrader.com. Denny, bad beat last night in the NHL. If you have the Chicago Blackhawks, they led 2-0 in the third period. Tampa Bay scored twice to force overtime. And how about this? Lightning strikes with 1 second left in OT. 1 second left in overtime in the Lightning get the win 3-2 over the Blackhawks. What was the price on that?
They were right around 2-1 favorites, Matt. Last night, just like they're going to be today. I mean, it's a but here's the thing about the Lightning: 6 straight wins and five games under. Typically, you see Lightning more higher scoring games, but not the case, Matty.
All right, let's throw it out to Smokin' Dave Cokin, and he joins us today. At Dave Cokin on Twitter via Skype. And Dave, good to see you again. I hope you didn't have the Blackhawks last night.
No, I didn't. I was on the right side of a lucky win last night. I had the Flyers, and they were down 3-0 and looked for all the world like a beaten team and came back and got four, including one late in the third period. So nice to be on the right side of those.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, Vinny Maiola, good to hear you, buddy. Glad you're with
you
us.
You too, Vinny.
Caps, Bruins. How about Caps with 4 straight wins here? Bruins got a couple of quarantine issues. They got their center Coyle out. I know you grew up a Bruins fan, but this is about making money. The Caps, a dog tonight. Bruins anywhere from $1.35 to $1.40. It looks like they're taking the Caps again here to total 6. You have any opinion on tonight's game?
I didn't bet the game, but I'd have to lean to the Bruins in this game. One thing we've seen this year in these quick rematches is if the home favorite loses the first one, they've come back on a frequent basis and won the second one, as long as they're favored in both games. It's tough to pull two upsets on the road in back-to-back games. You might see some action tonight as far as a fight or two is concerned. There was some chirping being done in the third period of the game the other night, and I would think you're going to see some gloves drop tonight at some point.
One of the bigger favorites, Vegas Golden Knights, will go over up to San Jose for a back-to-back. They play tonight, and then the two teams meet again tomorrow. Got to start seeing how much depth they really do have in the cage. Now Marc-Andre Fleury getting all the attention here. 10 straight starts. 2-10 favorites, Dave, tonight in San Jose.
It's a huge price, but San Jose is just an awful team. They just have no goaltending at all, and it's killing them. The team, they can score, and if you put them on the power play, they can be dangerous, but you got to keep the puck out of the net once in a while, and they don't do that. I think San Jose is a team that is probably going to start selling with the deadline coming. They're not really contenders, and they have to rebuild the system at this point. And I think a lot of the players know it, so you're not maybe getting a true effort in every game.
Yep, and no Hurdle tonight. He's in quarantine, the center for the Sharks as well.
Dave,
but they do have to get some, they have to get Fleury some time off. So the sooner Leonard can get back, the better it is for them.
Yeah, no kidding. Dave, any plays you have on the hockey board tonight?
I didn't play anything tonight, but there's a couple of situations that do appeal a little bit tomorrow. One of them is the matchup between who am I looking at? Oh, Montreal, Winnipeg, and Montreal. Canadians finally get a couple of wins under the new coach. One win, anyway, 1-3. But I thought they played reasonably well against Winnipeg. I want to see who's in goal tomorrow. A little bit of a worry if it's Carey Price. He has not been playing well. I would expect that this will be a big price. But Toronto was in a really bad spot last night, coming off the sweep at Edmonton and having no time off. They had to go in with no rest and play Vancouver. That was a great spot for the Canucks. They took advantage of it. I think Toronto gets the rebound tomorrow. Big favorite in the minus 170 range, but Maple Leafs should get there tomorrow.
At Dave Koken on Twitter. Dave, you've been smoking on college hoops lately, too. What do you see tonight before we jump into – I want to ask you about a couple games on Saturday, but what do you see tonight, maybe in the conference tournaments or elsewhere on college hoops?
I do have one game that I'm playing tonight, and that's the matchup between Arkansas, Little Rock, and Appalachian State. And I laid a little less than it is now. It's going up to 2.5, but I like the matchup. Little Rock basically has no guards. They lost their point guard a little while back, 7 or 8 games ago. And their assisted turnovers since he went out have been pretty bad. They're big, so they'll have a size advantage on the inside. But I tend to like teams with guard advantages in these tournaments, and it definitely should be App State in that game. So I think the line movement in the game is correct. I'm seeing as high as 2.5 and 3 now, and I would think the Mountaineers get there in that game.
Yep. Game open pick up to 2.5, yeah.
Okay. How about the Illinois-Ohio State game? I'm interested to get your take here because the Illini are going to be sky high off that win at Michigan. 23-point win in Ann Arbor. You got a Buckeyes team that's dropped 3 in a row. Ohio State's got some problems on defense, obviously, but I still think the spot here has got to be got to make you take a hard look at the Ohio State side. Do you agree or not?
100% agree. Yeah. And on the last weekend of the regular season, I really think it is all about motivation because these games just don't mean that much. You know, Illinois, does it really matter if they win this game? I'm sure they'd like to get revenge from the loss they had earlier at home to Ohio State, but they're off a tremendous win. Ohio State, 3 straight losses, need a victory here. I don't think Holtman wants to go into the tournament with 4 straight losses. So I think Ohio State is in a favorable spot. I think the same can be made, same case can be made for UCLA tomorrow. USC is the better basketball team. But it sounds like Enright's already making excuses tomorrow. He was complaining about having to go to Oregon. And UCLA's got the revenge motive here and off a couple losses last week. I think the Bruins probably win tomorrow.
Those are two of my plays for tomorrow. We talked about that in the bankroll segment. Yes, I've got Ohio State and UCLA. Dave, I know you like to bet a lot of the smaller conferences, too. What do you have your eyes on for Saturday?
Well, this one will be deep on the board. It's on the extra board, but I like New Orleans. They've played well down the stretch, coming off a couple of really good wins, and they've got a revenge motive here, which I think is somewhat meaningful in this, especially in the smaller conferences where, you know, look, obviously the tournaments, conference tournaments are the only way they're going. So it comes down to individual matchups. They're playing Southeast Louisiana. I think they'll get him here. The number's 9. But New Orleans is the considerably better team, and they're in good form right now. Revenge off wins, usually a positive, and I think I'll be looking at the privateers in this matchup.
How about the college football FCS? I'm not sure. You had a winner when you were on with us a couple weeks ago. That was on James Madison. You laid the 41.5, and I think they won 52-0 that weekend. How much work have you done on the FCS football games, and have you come up with anything yet?
I haven't bet anything yet, but it's a situational weekend in the FCS because you had a bunch of teams score really big upsets last week. And that could be a situation where teams like that could let down. So if you go through the archive, you'll see just a ton of double-digit winners last week, double-digit dog winners. I think you might want to look to go against some of those teams this weekend. They might have a tough time getting up to the same level. And in many cases, they're going to be in situations where they're laying points. So that could be something that's favorable. But I have not yet made any bets. And if I don't have time to put the proper amount of work in, I won't bother with them. It's kind of busy right now with the basketball, the mm-hmm. hockey, and trying to get sized up for the baseball season. I've got one under bet in Major League Baseball that I'm going to make. Marlins, it's either 72.5, 73.5. They were a complete fluke last year. And in that division, I think they're going to have a real difficult time. There's four good teams ahead of them. I'm probably going to be on the under on the Marlins this year. I look for them to go backwards in a big way. And the Texas Rangers look like a 100-loss team. So even with a couple of other shaky teams in their division, Texas could be a great underplay as well.
Interesting. Vinny wanted to talk baseball with you. And
I was going to ask him the obligatory Red Sox question. You haven't started yelling at the Red Sox yet, have you, Dave, in spring training?
No, I although there was some just an awful game last week, they made like six errors. But, you know, if you could make six errors, make it an exhibition game. I actually think I kind of like what they're doing. I don't mm-hmm. think they're a real strong team, but they've signed they've got three guys now that are essentially utility players who can bounce all over the field. Cora likes those types of guys, and he's pretty good at juggling the lineup. I think you're going to see Boston improve some this year, and I think they'll be a winning team. Not much of a winning team, but I don't expect them to be anywhere near the level they were last year. They were a complete train wreck last season. I don't think they cared about the season right. to mm-hmm. begin with, and I think you'll see a much better attitude coming out of this spring training for the Red Sox.
I would
but
agree.
But they're not going to win. They won't win the division.
No, I mean it's the Yankees and Toronto's improved, but I do agree with you that they'll be improved, and I think the transition they're going to go through is going to be positive for them long term.
Vinny's optimistic about his Mets too, Dave.
That's right.
What about you?
How do you not?
That division is going to be fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, the Phillies mm-hmm. have really improved themselves. The bullpen was historically bad last year, and it looks like it'll be better this time around. I think the Mets have an improved team. Atlanta's still good.
Yep.
Washington's probably a step behind the others, but the Nationals are still a respectable team. But you can make a good case for any of those first three teams to win that division
Agreed.
And then get knocked out by whoever wins the NL West.
And that plays into your Marlins under bet as well.
Yeah.
Koken, great to see you today. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time.
Good to see you guys. Good luck this weekend.
Well done, Dave.
At Dave Koken on Twitter. And don't forget the college hoops openers are up at Circus Sports if you want to go there and look at those for tomorrow. Vinny, a quick take on the NASCAR race this weekend because you were talking about that event, which has kind of slipped under the radar with a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, Matt. I mean, if the important thing is always to remember that the races here are always the highest handle race because they're here. Fans starting to be allowed back into venues, so about 26,000. I think there'll be a few more outside because NASCAR fans are very loyal. They drive, they travel the circuit, and I think we'll see quite a few folks. Not only that, but of course, here it's kind of NASCAR Central with Brendan Gaughan hosting a lot of the drivers.
Brendan's not going to be in a car this week, right?
No, he's going to be commentating and doing a great watch. Hey, watch Gaughan racing.
He's not out there writing.
No, he's not writing tickets this weekend. No.
He has been known to write tickets. I saw him back here on Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right. Every Super Bowl.
Who's the favorite in the NASCAR race in Vegas?
You've got the Kevin Harvick, 5-1.
All right. Hey, have a winning weekend. Thanks to Clark Kellogg, Lou Finicaro, Jeff Parles, Jimmy Vaccaro, and Dave Koch. And the replay's up at vsin.com. And Danny Burke of Rush Hour is next. VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.